It is time now for This Week in the Lakeville Journal. And we've got in the center studio.
Herself,
Cynthia Hosswinder. Cynthia, is anybody coming in with you today?
Just me, all by my lonesome.
Just yours. Well, you're not lonesome anymore because we've got Janet Manko riding in on that horse.
Good morning.
Hi, Janet. How are you this morning?
I'm okay. How are you?
All right. Let me turn on my phone for some reason. I keep trying to turn down the ringer, and for some reason, some weird noises pop up. But there. We're all set right now, and when we look at the front page, lots of color on the front page of the Lakeville Journal. And it goes, we'll start right off at the top with saluting veterans on the 11th day of the 11th month.
So unlike Memorial Day, where all the towns have some kind of a service, not every town has a Veterans Day observation, and many of them do it on the prior Friday because schools are closed on actual Veterans Day. And I believe North Canaan Elementary is doing theirs on Tuesday the 26th, and there's information in the paper on how you can participate. They like to get veterans. It's an interesting time now. If you look at Patrick's story on the inside, we really are having veterans from multiple generations, which in my experience of Veterans Day around here seems to be changing. It used to be we had a lot of World War II guys. We have fewer World War II guys. We have more Vietnam guys, which is great because I think that was such a complex war for how people felt about it coming back. And we have a lot of younger people who were in Iraq or who just served and weren't in a particular front. So,
and we also have people from the Korean War. People forget that we still
That's right.
That was my dad's war,
from the Korean War as well. But yes, it's we've lost almost all of our World War II people who served.
But I think for kids at the schools and for all of us, I think it's nice to see these multi-generations of veterans turning out. So I hope that people do dust off the old uniform, go to the gym for a few weeks if you need to, and go out there for Veterans Day next year or at the 26th at North Canaan Elementary. And beautiful photos on the front page from Lance Christensen from Kent. And we have two stories inside that we'll talk about when we get there.
All right. I want to go down to the bottom because there he is. Either you love him or you hate him, but the man lives in our area, and he will forever be an icon in not only American history but world history, and that is Henry Kissinger.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was thinking that as before we got on the air about how even in like the last 15 years, people would sometimes protest if they knew he was going to be around. And he really has sort of mellowed into this avuncular famous person. And there's a lot of famous people around here, but there is something about him. If you read just the cut line from Lanza's photo, he did a book signing at Kent Memorial Library of Kissinger and Kissinger, written by Winston Lord with a foreword by Dr. Kissinger. And the lines were looping through every square space in that library so that people could get up close to him. And we had some very sweet pictures of, you know, children just sort of standing there and feeling that they could approach this, you know, as you said, very controversial, very famous person.
And a look at a person's broad body of work can take away negatives or add negatives as they go. I think with people that have negatives early in their political career, the positives start that come back and if you
stick around long enough,
you stick around long enough, and it's amazing
what
happens.
It comes back around.
Right. All right. And the museum, I like the picture at the museum is official.
The best photo of Bunny McGuire, and just such a wonderful person. And she and the ladies of the Cranford Club did so much to get the Railroad History Museum going at the depot. So really a lot of life in that building that suffered so badly in that arson fire set just days after the September 11th terror attacks. Talk about a bad year. And it's been a long road, and they've got now the brewery in there, which appears to be extremely successful. And they've been little by little filling in that museum with donations of things specific to the depot, things specific to the New England Railroad lines, and just to train history in general. And it's really fun and interesting, and you should definitely go.
All right. Another story about Patrick Sullivan, light turnout in town elections. And I just laugh because I look at the elections. I remember when I ran and lost by 100 and some odd votes.
Yeah.
I had
one vote matters here.
I had 570 some votes just myself, and my opponent had 600 and some, I think 20 or 80 votes.
And that was that was just for your town, right?
And that was just for Salisbury. Yeah. That was just for Salisbury. And I look at the
numbers are very low.
What could be and should be. And I think what that shows you is the more people that choose to run, the more voters will turn out and and show up.
And this is slightly confusing. So Patrick sums it up in his article. But when you look at the charts, and I want to say that we're the only paper, I believe, that says who won. So that on the day after, the dailies will run the vote totals, and the state will post the vote totals at the Secretary of the State site. But we actually go around to all the town clerks and just say, confirm with us who is the successful candidate. And we put them in bold letters. But in some of the charts, everybody's bold because everybody won, or there'll be one person in a town who lost. So it's not an error. That's correct. And I just want to say this as a segue. Most years since I've worked at this newspaper, we've had a lot of advertising from the election candidates because the seats were – you know, there was more competition. This year, very lightly advertised. And so I'm going to throw attention over to our membership model. I think we've heard from more than one person. Not everybody, like when you're reading the paper, sometimes an article just floats by your eyes and you don't see it. So I'm going to say we've had great response from many, many people so far to our proposal to do a membership model for the newspaper, which is community support. And we have been learning as we're going. There's a lot we still have to learn about how to do this model. But please do read that article. Find out what we're about. We're trying to figure out ways to answer all the many questions that people are presenting to us. And we'll just keep doing our best to improve.
All right. And I'd like to say quickly that we did get some advertising in the Lakeville Journal for election, but we got quite a bit in the Millerton News. So thanks to those folks, there were more contested races. And when you see that just about everybody who ran gained their seat, yeah, there aren't contests that bring people out. So the more people who think about running for office, the better.
All right. When you become that 501c3, you're going to lose that revenue.
That's right.
But you're going to get
different.
You get so much more. To be honest with you, with all the rules you have to follow, I worked in commercial radio, and it must be the same in paper. With all the rules you have to follow and all the paperwork you have to file out, with when you run political advertising, it's been a blessing. Two big blessings since I've been into nonprofit radio. I don't have to start Christmas music after Thanksgiving, and I don't have to do all the paperwork for political advertising.
Right. Yeah, and you know, I'm glad you're so confident when we become a nonprofit. We certainly have that as our hope and wish, and we will see what happens with that. I saw, Marshall, you posted on Facebook that local radio is so important for the community for so many reasons, and it's really true. We totally support having local radio for all that you do, especially, you note, the emergency situations where a calming voice is needed for the community. You've just been great for that and the consistency. So
the amazing thing, the amazing thing about what you're going through, we have the same problem that you have in the fact that people think that there's just enough money to operate these things time and time endless time.
People think that NPR people do not, they don't necessarily understand that that this is run at a massive deficit just because.
Yeah, people don't understand what we have to do what we do, and what we do. You can check, especially with us because we're a nonprofit. You'll see zero amount goes into dollars for us. I mean, it's one of those things that people take for granted, and it's an old saying, Janet.
Wait,
but it's
you
true.
You never miss the water till the well runs dry.
They don't know they miss something until it's gone.
That's it. You never miss the water till the well runs dry.
Yeah, this is what we were trying to avoid by going through doing the survey and being right out there with what our situation is and how we're doing and what will come next if we don't gain support. And so, you know, whatever happens, we feel as if at least we're putting it out there. We're not surprising anybody, as some media companies do when, you know, they
just
shut
turn around
everything
and say,
down.
Well, gee, thanks. Yeah.
Overnight. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, let's go on to the Falls Village. And I know tonight
but
in Salisbury.
But if I can quickly take you back to the A2 page, do you mind? Just two things. There's the sign up for health insurance. So if you are uninsured, and as many people around here are, especially people who work in the trades, you should definitely take up this opportunity to have somebody help you navigate applying for the state aid support. And there is a lot of support available. And the I think that probably, sadly, a lot of people qualify for state support through Husky and other programs. So you should definitely look on A2 for that listing of times for health insurance sign-up help. And also there's a photo that two people sent us of a bear with a deer carcass, which I find very unusual because we think of the bears as not being carnivorous. And apparently the bear was licking the carcass. And, as a Disney film lover, I'm assuming that they were really good friends and that he's mourning the loss of his friend. But other people have had a different interpretation of that.
That picture I've seen, I don't know if anybody saw the picture of the bear that was on my porch the other day. And I've gotten things from hunters that say that's a 600-pound bear that was standing on my porch. And I still left his nose print on my glass window, which is at the front door, because he was trying to sniff if there was any food.
I swear that I know that one, and he just loops into the...
Hey, Yogi.
All right. Salisbury tonight's going to talk about the athletic plan for the schools, and Falls Village also has done it.
We've been super fortunate to have Willie Yon, who is a graduate of the Region 1 school system and is a professional ball player, and is also a journalism major at the University of Connecticut, and is a great writer and a great thinker, and really understands what's going on here. Is in contact with Ann McNeil, who is the athletic director and the middle school athletic director. So what's happening, as we know, is the region is shrinking, the schools are getting smaller, and the schools are not really able to field a team. And it's complex because there's a lot of miles between the different schools and a lot of time that needs to be spent on the bus. So Willie has volunteered to go to every single meeting. The only one he couldn't go to was North Canaan, which Lila Hawken did a very good job of writing about on the next page. But so... And so now we're experimenting with going back to the town pages because people seem to really want that. So this story is on every single town page as it happens instead of being summed up. And Willie is sort of listening and summing up. And a lot of the concerns that people have are about having younger children with older children on the school buses. And the other concern is whether it's going to eliminate school spirit.
Well, the background to all this, the 600-pound gorilla in the room, or the 600-pound bear, is local control. That's always going to be there when you have a regional school district, whether it's voiced or not.
Yeah, that's the American way, state or federal. Yeah. And then, of course, for kids in Kent, we had that story last week, and a lot of the issue for them, it's really a big drive. It's a big drive for everybody. For them, it's a huge drive. And a lot of them say that they would rather go to New Milford and join sports programs down there. So there's a lot of this is bringing up a lot of latent issues, as you said, in having a regional school district.
And Hoosie had an open house, which is smart, and they even promoted it as an open house for students that might not be considering coming to Housatonic. I think they have to do more and more and more of that.
Right, because we do have a lot of private schools here, and, of course, the children of faculty at those schools have special access to those schools. But there is a lot to be said about Housie, and so they're going around to some of the elementary schools to do presentations, and they had an open house at the school. Ian Strever, the new principal, is doing a great job of going out there and trying to say, listen, what we've got here is as good as anything you can get anywhere. And a pretty large turnout. I think they had 50 students come in and with their families to find out what Housie has to offer.
All right. On the North Canaan page, once again, they've got the middle school sports proposal, which we talked about as well. But the assorted businesses that have been checked off the list by the Board of Selectmen.
A lot of times you go to these meetings and it's just a lot of small items and they're all important. And, we have a reporter go to those meetings. And I would say that that's a slightly different way that the Lakeville Journal approaches news. We're not looking for the big item that we can sell with. We're looking to just say, here's what your government is doing. We are sort of going and explaining how your tax dollars are being spent. So that's essentially what Lila Hawken has done with this story. And one of the big parts of that story is Lynn Nania, who's spent so many years on the AHA after-school program, which has been a big part of not just North Canaan life, but regional life, and she has retired.
All right. Moving on to the Salisbury page, you got a nice picture there of the veterans in Salisbury.
And a big turnout for their Salisbury Central School. I was looking through the list, and I was like, wait, those guys are from Norfolk. They have people from all over the region come to these schools. And again, it's really nice for the kids to see military servicemen of all different ages and to sort of not feel like, oh, that's something Grandpa did, but to feel like, a lot of kids from this area go on to military service and have – it's a great pathway for a lot of them.
All right. Selectmen look at the former China Inn. This is a very interesting story.
It's an ongoing story, again, not looking to just sort of wait until it's all done and sum it up, but just to say as they're going through, here's what they're thinking about. And part of the reason for that is to give people an opportunity, if they want to weigh in on these topics, if you know that they discussed it at this recent selectmen's meeting in Salisbury, you can go on the town's website and see the meeting agendas. And if it's on the agenda for the next meeting, you can go attend and express your opinion. So this is a restaurant that's been closed down for many years in the center of Salisbury. There's a lot of concerns that the building is falling into disrepair. There's a zoning issue that's keeping somebody from developing it in a productive way. And so the town is looking at different ways to adjust that and make it possible to have that become a really functioning, attractive part of downtown Lakeville.
A couple of stories about the holidays. The Festival of Trees opens up on the 23rd, and also the 2 weekends of the Artisan Sale, which goes to benefit several different charities in our area.
It does feel, as Marshall said, that the holiday season is bearing down on us a little early. Like, I'm actually ready to start watching Christmas movies. My daughter won't let me. But it's snowing, and we're all thinking about gifts, and so you can get really beautiful gifts at the Artisan Sale, and there's a lot of activities at Noble Horizons. Look for the ad on our front page.
All right. The major story that you have up on in Sharon is about Rick Kopech and Carol Shelby, and it all ties in with the movie Ferrari, Ford versus Ferrari.
A lot of people in responding to our survey had said they really wanted to read profiles of people, and so what we decided to do was combine a profile of an interesting local person with some kind of a news peg. So last week we had Skip Barber on A1 from Salisbury talking about Ford versus Ferrari and his memories of the, you know, as a racing person of this epic battle between Ford and Ferrari that is the basis of the movie. And this week we have Rick Kopech, a really interesting guy from Sharon, who is a racer, a car collector, and was a friend of Carol Shelby, who has been here at Lime Rock and was a lovely person, signed autographs all day long. And Shelby, a very famous car designer. Rick explains a little bit about that. And again, Skip and Rick will both be at the movie house on Friday night at 7 p.m. after the movie to answer questions, and on Sunday afternoon with Sam Posey.
All right, and Footprints Lie Beneath the Pavement, Brent Colley.
As everybody knows who knows me, I don't hike, but when I am out in the woods, it's very easy to see how there are certain logical pathways that go through the forest. And so Brent Colley, who is first selectman of Sharon but also is a historian, gave a talk as part of the anniversary celebration here at the church in Sharon, Christchurch, 200th anniversary. He talked about the Indian pathways and how so many of the roads that we use now are based on the old Indian pathways.
All right, and I'm looking at the picture, and the Civil War Memorial looks like it had a ton of turnout.
Ton of turnout, and they had Maria Horn was there. Maria was very busy this week. She was there, and she was also at the Union Station opening the Railroad Museum in North Canaan, as were Craig Miner and former First Selectman Doug Hume from North Canaan and current First Selectman Charlie Prady. But so Maria Horn was at the Civil War Memorial, a student who was a descendant of Major General John Sedgwick, which is the Sedgwick name is a big name around here. The two houses across the street from the radio station here are the two Sedgwick houses. And he was a big part of the Civil War effort. And so this Spencer Markow, who's a descendant of the Sedgwicks, decided to put together a Civil War memorial plaque, and that was dedicated over the weekend, and that was how Cornwall honored veterans on Veterans Day, in addition to, I believe they did a ceremony at the school.
And as we all know, green efforts have been noted for Cornwall, probably the greenest town in the country.
Right, and Katie Fragang, I think, it was the one who suggested that they do a green tree. Maybe it's Joanne Wojtusiak. Somebody suggested doing a solar power tree at that little triangle over by the liquor store, and they had had one for several years. It just was such a dim little tree because, you know, for various reasons, it was degraded by the weather and the light wasn't that bright. But they're talking about doing it again.
Yeah, we had the 1 year where it was cloudy for 10 days straight.
Right.
Yeah.
10 days straight. And
it happened.
Yeah, and things like that. And Tesla batteries weren't invented, but that happened.
Right. And the batteries is a big, you know, not to like segue, but everybody's been asking why we haven't done anything in the Cricket Valley power plant down in Dover Plains. We did a huge three-part series over the summer, so people can find that on our website. But, you know, that's one of the big challenges is, first of all, when you have these solar and hydropower, they're not fully reliable. And so the federal government requires that there be baseload availability, and that's why you have a big power plant like the one that's being built in Cricket Valley to fill in for those days when there's like no water and there's no sun. But also the batteries is the big thing, and when you're able to store the power from the solar and the water, that's going to make a huge difference to how we generate power.
Absolutely. On the Kent page, it's interesting, the two pictures you have from, I love the term mid-century, a mid-century yeah. house, but then the inside house, those pictures would look great in color, I'm telling you. I mean,
yes, and you know, of course, we're not always able to have color. We are able to have it on our first, I believe, four and last four pages, and it's dependent on having color advertising, but we love to have color, and those photos are, in fact, beautiful, and if I can figure out how to get my Instagram to work properly, which it has not been doing, I will post them on the Lakeville Journal website, Instagram, not just my own, but they're beautiful photos, and Lance Christensen, such a great photographer, very hard to shoot a dark room on a dark day, but did it beautifully with a Victorian inn, and a lot of interesting photos from that house tour, which really covered the whole of the 20th century and parts of the 19th and parts of the 21st. So a very interesting tour.
All right. And streetscape work, the details are finally being put together.
A short story about a long, long process. This is why democracy is very messy, and people do sometimes try to skimp on that part of letting the public know what's going on. But boy, it really makes a difference when you finally are able to hammer something out. If you have everybody, if everybody feels that they've been able to express their opinion, and nobody can say with the streetscape that anything was done in secret, that was a very open process. A lot of wrangling, but they were able to finally pull together a proposal on Wednesday, November 6th. And if you want to know about what the final details are, you can read that article.
All right, and the Housatonic, well, the MCW United, it's almost like a soccer team, MCW United football team got their first win of the year. Congratulations.
And if you're thinking about this middle school sports, you just have to look at the high school, which has, which is already regionalized and still has to go out to other schools in the area to field a team for football. And they've got, I think, the first woman coach in the state, Willie Yon, had written about her. Sam Foley, who's a Hoosie graduate, had just wandered into the office and said, hey, I'd like to write about sports. We said, great. So he was there, and we'll have him covering some other stories as we're able to get him. But really nice to have young people from the area coming in and writing for us. We encourage it. And if you're a young person, please do come in. Right now we have Molly Lovejoy writing for us, Willie Yon, and Sam Foley.
All right, let's go to the opinion page, your editorial about new approaches need for community journalism.
Right. Here we talk about why we decided to go for the membership model. First, I'd like to thank all the people who have already responded so very quickly. It's super encouraging to all of us who do this work, and we are so grateful for that support. And we talk here about what led into this, and it's interesting. Somebody said, well, we just want to be sure that this money isn't going to your owners. And it's like, no, it's quite the opposite. Our owners have only invested in us year after year since 1995, and it's time to find a different model where it's a wider distribution of investment, and we continue to try to cut costs as much as possible and still have good publications for our readers. So do give that a read. Let us know your thoughts. We have a very interesting piece from the owners of the Falls Village Inn, Colin Chambers and Susan Sweetapple, titled Hostage Taking in Falls Village. Lots of letters. Really interesting one. Really good one from Jane Strong on Veterans Day reflections, with all the Veterans Day reporting in this issue. It's a good time to look at her take on that. And good pieces from Dick Ollis on press secretaries, past and now. And Tony Peel on proposals to amend the U.S. Constitution, and really nice piece from Chris Powell on the first frost and what it does to the psyche of all of us in Connecticut who do, for one way or another, if it's flowers, gardens, or farms, you know, work the soil.
You know, there's a very important letter from Joanne Lunning on pancreatic cancer.
Yeah.
And the reason that strikes me so, and people should pay attention to it, I ran into John literally a week before he passed, and I would have never, ever, ever guessed that he had pancreatic cancer.
It was, yeah.
It's an important letter. People read it and look for. The warning signs.
Right. She talked about the symptoms and, of course, feels so strongly about it, having lost John nearly a year ago, and we're so glad to have that from her. Our owner, Whitney Ellsworth, died of pancreatic cancer, and same thing. Boy, right up until the time he died, he kept that life, but you need to know the warning signs, and they can be subtle.
All right. We will move on now. We have about a minute and a half left. Compass.
So, Janet, if you don't mind, should I go ahead or do you want to?
Go ahead.
So very quickly, beautiful showing of work at Standard Space, which I'm going to go see on Saturday, Marina Baranova. Her work has been also at the James Baron Gallery in Kent. Sort of a study on flowers, but very beautiful in a kind of a old Dutch still life sort of way. Really good book review from Janet Manco, who read and wrote about The Good Cop by Peter Steiner, who does those wonderful political cartoons for us. Peter is a very good writer, writes these wonderful thrillers, sort of all set in Europe. And Janet's review perfectly describes what that book is about. Caitlin Olinger, who's been writing about spirits and wine for us, writes about the Beaujolais Nouveau, which when I was a young person in the 80s and 90s, it was always a big deal when like the new Beaujolais Nouveau came out. So an article about that and why it's useful. And then the Harlem Line, coming up with two performances, and they have four songs that are now available on the Internet.
All right.
Lots in calendar. Lots to do.
All right. So once again, remind people to look online and also in the paper and respond to your survey and to the ways that we can help keep two local papers still functioning in our area.
Thank you to everybody.
Thanks, and thanks to all our advertisers and subscribers. Read the classified ads, everybody. There's a lot in there.
And the legals are always interesting.
That's right.
They are.
All right, we'll speak to you guys next week.
Thanks, bye.
Thank you.
Take care. That is This Week in the Lakeville Journal. They're available on Facebook, Instagram, and at tricornernews.com on the web as well.